The fourth lesson of the sixth Patriya Platform Sutta. Yeah. So you have a copy of this. Yeah. You can turn to the cover page. Then we will commence our sharing. So this particular fourth lesson of the sixth Patriya Platform Sutta was delivered by me at this Wuping Jingse Sunday class. Huh? So this recording is based on the direct transcript from the recordings of the fourth lesson of the sixth Patriya Platform Sutta class dated 19 September 2015. It's almost 6 years ago. Okay. Then I think after the transcript was done, we go to the Kayamita funds to get it printed on the 30th January 2018. Okay, so now we'll read the preface. Oh, sorry. We'll read the content first. So under the content, we have the preface, the acknowledgement, then the Sutra proper, fourth lesson of the sixth Patriya Platform Sutra, dated 19. Oh, here is dated as July 2015. So I also not really sure. It's either July or September. Never mind. Then after that we have our puja, then sutra and dhamma by me. Okay, so biodata, I just read through briefly for some who are new. So this is my biodata, briefly. Biodata of Brother Teo. Brother Teo graduated from the University of Malaya in civil engineering in the year 1979. He has been a spiritual practitioner come meditator since 1971. Since his retirement in 2001 from his engineering career, he has been sharing his understanding and experiences with those who are keen in their search for true happiness, peace and liberation from birth and death, and all mental suffering, so that they can be a blessing to all of humanity. We are becoming a more virtuous, nobler and wiser human being. He gives them a talk and hosts meditation classes and retreats, and weekly Dhamma classes at various meditation centers, Buddhist society and places that invited him. For more detail on Brother Teo's Dhamma activity and his Kayamita ships grouping, please log on to his recently launched Dhamma website. But now it's already, I think the website is already at least 4 over years old. So you can log on to this http://brotherteo.com, broteo.com. Okay. Then under the preface, this is to acknowledge those who have helped out. It is Brother Teo's sincere wish that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth and cultivators will be able to make use of this enclosed Dhamma transcript note to develop a better understanding of the Buddha Dhamma as taught by Sakyamuni Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma cultivation to become more virtuous, nobler and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. As these notes were mostly compiled based on the direct transcript from the recordings, from the recording of the fourth lesson of the sixth Patriya Platform Sutta, dated 19, must be July 2015, the text is aligned as closely as possible to the colloquial speech in the talk. However, some editorial amendment has been made to the text, without detracting from the essence of the talk. It is hoped that readers are able to accordingly adjust themselves to better understand its true meaning and intent. A good way to do this is to listen to recording first before reading the transcript note. To listen to the recording means the audio file. You can log on to our brotio.com website under repository of Dhamma material or Google Brotio's Kayamita, a repository of Dhamma material, to view them or alternatively download the below MP3 audio link. So this MP3, sometimes it may not work. So you try, if you can't get it, then you have to go to the website, brotio.com. Okay, acknowledgement. Is the donor sincere intention that this Dhamma transcript notes be given free to those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them? I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends of Kayamita who have donated and helped out in the transcription, typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be given to Sister S.K. Hong Shit Kun, who had taken the initiative to develop the draft transcript for my subsequent editing, thereby enabling this Dhamma transcript book to be printed. So Sister S.K. Hong is from Singapore. By the power of this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical sufferings and danger. And may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends who have donated or help out in one way or another to realize their good and noble wishes or aspirations soon as possible with metta always. Okay, so now we can go to the sutra sharing proper. Section 3, fourth lesson of the six patriarch platform sutra, dated 19 July 2015. 3.1 Puja. The usual puja chanting of the Mahayana tradition salutation, followed by Theravada tradition salutation, the taking of the three refuges and the renewal of the five precepts was done. For detail, please do listen to the recording or refer to our lesson 2 or 3 transcript book. So this one, in order to save space, we don't repeat it anymore. Dhamma is Sutra by Pratyam. Just relax yourself, maintain some form of attention. Then we can start. We will continue from where we stop. We shall turn to page 31. So this book is the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra book by Master Xuan Hua. He has these commentaries. So we will follow in the book. So if you want to refer, you can refer there. But before that, we will recite the opening verse for starting the sutta. Please turn to the first page, verse on opening the sutta. It's immediately after the introduction to the first six patriarchs. Verse for opening a sutra. So this one, you have to pay attention. The verse is very important so that you understand the significance of these sutras, then how blessed one has to be to receive such teachings, to be born a human being during the era of the Sasana and to receive such teaching. So I'll read through. Hopefully you can find it. Just give me a minute. Yes. Testing, testing. Yeah, just the connection went off. Sorry. So I will read to the verse for opening a sutra so that you can develop the understanding of it. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of eons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. So such is the uniqueness of such teaching, because such true Dhamma are very rare, very, very rare. So this verse is to serve as a reminder. It's very important that you understand the rareness of coming across such a sutta. Okay, we will turn to page 31, where we will continue our sharing. A general introduction edited by Bishu Phahai of the Tang Dynasty. What follows is not the sutta text, but an introduction to the sutra which was written by the sixth patriarch's disciple Phahai. This was written by the sixth patriarch's disciple Phahai. So I will read them. When the sixth patriarch taught the Dhamma, Master Phahai followed him, recorded all of the things the patriarch said. Later, he compiled and edited his note, calling them the Six Patriarchs Dhamma Jewel Platform Sutta. Then I asked, had he not done this, we would have no way to study the Six Patriarchs Dhamma. Therefore, we should certainly be grateful for such compassion as his. So these are causes and conditions that leads to the transcript or the notes that were taken by Phahai, the one of the close disciples of Six Patriarchs. Otherwise, we will not have the sutra text as it is today. Now you understand why we also, on many occasions, express our gratitude towards Sister Yun Chan. If Sister Yun Chan had not, during the year 2004, invited me to come out to share the Dhamma, all this sharing would not happen, and we would not have what we are having now. If you look back, for those who don't have the understanding, you will not understand how all this can be possible. Just a simple request, that very insignificant but rather sincere request, can bring forth such changes, because at that time nobody knew me. Only my nature knew what is happening. Then because it happened, my nature finally consented. Actually, for the first three times, I sort of rejected her request via telling her, never mind, because every time people invite me to share at that time, the condition was not yet ready and not ripe as yet. I then say it's okay, just let things be. When conditions are ready, things will manifest. That's why I said, never mind. Meaning, in a very subtle way, I say, not now. Then after the third time, very strange, my nature inside knew something. Then it prompted me, yeah, say, hey, it's about time you come out to share. The condition are already ready. So because of that, I reflected. Then I knew the reason why I refused to come out and share the Dhamma was because of my concern for the living beings. In a way, it is like the case of Sakyamuni Buddha. After Sakyamuni Buddha became fully enlightened underneath the Bodhi tree, he immediately reflected, and he knew what he had realized was too profound for living beings to understand. Hence the reason why he didn't even have the intention to share and teach. For the first 7 weeks after his enlightenment, he did nothing. He just went through the whole 7 weeks of condition, which were meant to be. Then after the 7 weeks, when he reflected on it, one of the Brahma up there, Sahampati, who can read the Buddha's concern, came down and respectfully paid respect to Sakyamuni Buddha and requested Sakyamuni Buddha to share the Dhamma via saying, "There are some who have little dust in their eyes, who can understand you." Then Sakyamuni reflected and said, "Yeah, there are some like his two teachers who had taught him. If they were still around, they would have understood." So he surveyed the world. Then he realized both of them had just passed away. One of them passed away 1 week ago. The other one passed away 1 day ago. It was meant to be because of their views and opinions of enlightenment. To them, they thought the 7 jhana and the 8 jhana are the highest. They already make determination and very strong aspiration to be reborn in those realms, thinking that was the ultimate goal. And because of that, it obstructed them from receiving the actual teachings or truth. That's the reason why they must die before Sakyamuni Buddha became fully enlightened. Otherwise, their vows and aspiration cannot be fulfilled. That's why when you make vows, you have to be very careful. You don't make vows to obstruct yourself. So that was the reason why. When you have gratitude and are grateful to people who understand, it will bring forth the causes and conditions for beautiful things to arise. So this disciple of the six patriarchs, his name is Fahai. He knew the master's teaching was very profound, and at that time he didn't have the luxury of having a recorder to record the talk like us. So he has to write down the notes. And do you know how difficult it was? That time, we heard from Sister Alicia sharing, telling us how she appreciated those people who sacrificed their time and energy to do the transcript for us. It was not easy. But when she knew that the transcript can be so beautiful and so meaningful, she also volunteered to do it. The first half an hour was really not easy for her. Then she came to realize how difficult it was to do it by those who had done it. Actually, those who volunteered it do so beautifully because of their faith, their strong faith. And they, after listening, realized the beauty of the Dhamma that was shared, and their heart received so much joy. And they want to do up the transcript so that other people can also benefit from it. And when they started doing it, it's not easy, I can tell you. You can ask them all, every sentence, every line, when you listen, you have to pause and write it down. Otherwise, you can't follow. Then after you write it down, you read and read and reread, or listen and listen and re-listen until it stabilizes. There is so much joy. Then only you start to understand what has been shared, what's so beautiful. So we should thank them all. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. When you do it, it will benefit yourself and others. So whatever things you do, if it's based on goodness and wholesomeness of heart, it will bring forth. It will bring about great benefits to all. Like yesterday, I told my son the same thing. We went for breakfast around SS2 area, within our housing area. All the parking lots were taken up, but opposite the parking lot on the other side, you can do a parallel parking. There was just one space at the end, just enough for the car to go in. Then I told my son, "I think we parked there." He said, "Okay." but because I tried to park as near as I can. And he actually had this kind thought. He said, "Daddy, I think I should reverse a bit." I said, "Yeah, otherwise the other car cannot come out." Then, do you know what happened? He reversed and parked. Then he went in. We went in for breakfast. After breakfast, I came out. Then I shared with him. There you see, that kind thought of yours has enabled the car in front to come out. It turned out to be a blessing in disguise. It helped us because there was another car that was parked behind us. No more space because he parked very close to our car. If we have parked very tightly in front, we also cannot come out. But because we allow space in front, we could still come out. So when you think you are helping others, you are actually helping yourself. These are the Dhamma that we can learn. As long as we have goodness, kindness, and you are considerate, and you feel for others, for people, then whatever you do, those wholesomeness will protect you. It is your inheritance. So don't be selfish, don't be deluded, and don't be so calculated. You may say, that fellow cannot come out. It is that fellow's problem. If you think this way, in future, you yourself will get stuck inside. You must never do that, because later on, other people will do it to you, and that is condition. Then you realize during that time, you may say, these people, they are so inconsiderate. How can they do this to me? But who created the condition in the first place? It's you, because nature or the law of karma is very fair. So these are the basic principles of living. When we understand karma, we will understand all this. Nature has its own nature's law that governs life and existence. So if you accord and flow and understand nature's law, you will know how to live. That's why this expression of compassion and gratitude towards Bahai is very good. You must always have this in your heart so that your heart will open up, so that you will have more and more gratitude and kindness in you. Please do listen to this. I seldom mention this. Maybe I have mentioned it before, but not often. Ultimately, the real Dhamma, after you have cultivated it, will end up in only one way. You want to know whether you really have the Dhamma or not. You will have to check whether you have more and more virtue or not. You will come to realize that finally, it is the virtue in you that reflects the real awakening. You cannot develop virtue on its own naturally. Then you don't have the Dhamma. The people who have the Dhamma will automatically have virtue. People who have the Dhamma will automatically have great virtue. Their mind, their nature, their hearts are very kind, very considerate, very sincere, full of gratitude, contentment, respect, understanding, goodness, and wholesomeness. This is very true. That's why I have to check whether you really have progressed or not. It's very easy. You check whether you have become a more considerate, more compassionate, more kind-hearted person or not. Whether you have developed goodness, wholesomeness, understanding, virtue, contentment, and gratitude as your character. Well, these are the character that will arise. These are virtue born of wisdom and understanding. So bear this in mind. This is the bad check. The other one is check whether you are more heedful or not. You are more mindful throughout the day or not. you have less and less thought, more and more moment of awareness, and you are already more calm, more peaceful, more tranquil in your approach to life. Then when you are able to continuously live the heedful life instead of being heedless throughout the day, it means you have progress. When your mind does not stir and react so often, when you are able to be at peace with most situations in life and accept the reality of the moment more and more, it shows that you have the Dhamma, you have cultivated, you have improved. So when you have cultivated and developed the wisdom and the understanding, this wisdom and understanding will make you different. It will allow you to straighten your views. Once your views has been straightened, then you will not stir and react to sense experience like before. Most of the time, you are at peace. You are just aware. And because of that, that transformation will make you more and more calm, more and more aware within the moment. Then you will have more space between thought. Most of the time, your mind is just aware, specific phenomenal awareness or spacious awareness without a center. And you only arise thought when you need to, when you need to contemplate, reflect, do things, or share things, or help people. Apart from that, you are most of the time peaceful, aware. There is understanding. There is joy. There is Dhamma. So this is a very good check if you want to see or find out whether you have progressed or not. Okay, we go back to the sharing. So when you cannot cultivate until you have all this virtue, it means you are still far from understanding the true Dhamma. When you think you are very good, your ego may still be very strong behind all your thought process, because the true Dhamma has not been understood. You have not really developed a clear understanding. When you have the clear understanding, you will become very different. Your nature becomes different. It becomes very virtuous. It becomes very kind and very considerate. It can understand many things. Then it becomes like very sensitive. And it loses its selfishness. It loses this, what they call the egoic entity, the mind, the center from which it acts and moves. It slowly dissolves that center and become like you are nothing. You are insignificant. You are nobody. And then humility is automatically manifested. Then there is no mark of a self within who still wants to pursue this, pursue that, and weigh things. Want and desire things. Even the subtle views and opinion of what should be and should not be is also no more. That one is still an ego, and this egoic mind is very subtle. When it can still stir and move in the slightest manner, it is still an egoic mind. You will penetrate all this as you cultivate. You will understand it very clearly. The slightest movement within is due to the stirring of the mind. That's why that movement, if it is really nothing, everything will become still, silent, and there will be no movement at all. That's why the Mandarin saying, qi xing dong nian, is a very good way, a very good expression of the mind's movement. It means when mind arises, thinking or thought activity arises, then the first two, paticca samuppada or dependent origination link, 无名言行 or avijja paccaya sankhara, which is dependent on ignorant thought activity arise, become meaningful, very clear, and very easy to understand. The moment you stir the mind, you arise the mundane mind, the thinking mind, then you create sankhara activity. That's the reason why the Buddha said avijja paccaya sankhara. So the Mandarin word here is 没有无明心就不会起。So the meaning is if you don't have ignorance, there will be no mental activity or arising of the mundane mind. Reason why 起心is because of 无明。Hence the saying by Po Yen Zhang Lao and Renma, 无名言行，所起心动念，念头 activity of mind arises because you arise the mind, the egoic mind that wants to know, wants to do things, wants to experience. That will allow you to understand clearly that mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, when mind arises, everything arises. Everything comes to be. And for mind to arise, there must be the five aggregates of five for my mind. Atomically conditioned vehicle and tool for you to come to this existential world. Otherwise, without contact upon the sense basis, there is no arising of consciousness. And when consciousness comes to be, just like what he shared at Brother Tiu and Sister Padmasri's house dana, upon contact, consciousness comes to be. Then the content of consciousness, based on your views, opinion, and conditioning, went in to arise the thought. That's how you know the world. That's how you interact with the world. That's how creation comes to be. That's why mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. You will come to understand how you function as a human being, how you perceive the world, how you know the world, and how you interact with the world. Without the senses, you cannot function. So the consciousness that arises via contact with the senses are the conditioned mind, the mundane thinking mind. That's why it is the forerunner of all things. Without this, you cannot know the world. Without this, you cannot interact with the world. Without this, you are nothing. You are nobody. But when this arises, everything arises. The egoic mind arises, the evil arises, the mental hindrance arises, the Dhamma arise, and everything else via content of consciousness arise, and they become like real. So the Maya teaching is also very profound. Somehow, the English words do not have the ability to carry those meaning through, not as clearly as Mandarin words. The Mandarin words about the mind, 一切一切为心造 is very good and very profound. Whereas if you use the English word to express the same meaning, you will have to use two sentences instead of one because of the expression, everything arises from the mind, doesn't carry the same meaning as the Mandarin version of 一切一切为心造, isn't it? Everything arises from the mind. You don't have much idea what it is. But in Mandarin, 一切一切为心造 means mind created them all. Everything arises from the mind because this mind is a conditioned arising mind that creates 心造成的. Then the meaning becomes clear when you understand. But the Buddha had to explain it. That's why he said, mind is the forerunner of all things. He has to come out with those words first. Mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything else arises. That's why in the English language, it can't give you the similar clear meaning until I explain who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being, and through your senses, how you know the world. Then what is mind? The five aggregates of form and mind, etc. Not until these are explained. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 do not reflect this clear meaning. But for Mahayana, it is very different because the meaning really stand out clearly. They cultivate direct via the true mind. They don't want to go through the form Dhamma. They go direct to mind. They go direct to the true mind. In order to understand the true mind, you must understand the mundane mind, the thinking mind. Then only you can understand the true mind. Without the mundane mind to create, there is nothing in this universe. He no you, he no me. Everything ceases to be. But when mundane mind comes to be or arise, everything comes to be. That's why mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Hence, we need to take care of this mind. We need to train this mind. We need to be heedful via this mind. Only then can we develop the understanding of who you are and what you are. From that understanding, you can develop the wisdom to liberate your mind, to free your mind from all this delusion, so that you are not entangled by it, by what it creates for you. Once delusion is understood, then wisdom can liberate the mind. Then it can bring about cessation. Then only it can bring about the ability for you to connect to your true nature. From this, you can see things as they are, to insight into phenomena, to break free from final ignorance. Delusion, which is self-delusion, is only a very small part of avijja or ignorance. Ignorance is very immense, whereas self-delusion is only a small integral part of ignorance. But it is a very powerful delusion, because from this small integral part, it can develop the very clear and important initial wisdom to enable the mind to cease, and for the mind to actually connect back to its original true nature. Then from there only, the great understanding, the great awakening can come about, so that ignorant woman can be completely rooted out. Ignorance is very much deeper than self-delusion. Self-delusion is only about the egoic mind. Ignorance covers a lot more than the egoic mind. Ignorance covers the lack of understanding of all nature's law that governs life and existence. Not only the five aggregates of form and mind, which is only a very small aspect of truth, but ignorant of the truth, the law that governs life and existence, that one is very powerful. That's why you must have wisdom to understand the law of karma, karma niyama, the law of mind, citta niyama, and the law of dhamma, dhamma niyama. Then you must also penetrate the other nature's law, even the scientific law, so that you can understand how the elements come about, how consciousness come about, and how all the various electromagnetic forces come about, including gravity. Then there is a lot more that are related to consciousness, beyond mind, beyond thought. There is this pure awareness or consciousness. Consciousness is a very powerful dimension that has never been penetrated by the thought. That is beyond thought, beyond mind, the pure consciousness, the pure awareness, the pure mind, the true nature, the true mind. All this require a lot of meditative understanding. Okay, now we shall move on. After explaining that part, we shall move on to the second paragraph. Dharma Master Fahai's lady name was Chong, Chang. In Mandarin is Chang, which is the same as my surname. Some call it Chong, some call it Chang. Here they pronounce it as Chang. In Hokkien, they call it Tio. Tio. So when you ask, so when they ask you what your surname is, you say Tio. Tio means Chang in Mandarin. In Hakka is Chong. So depending on which dialect, it's pronounced differently. And his common name is Wen Yun. Oh, was Wen Yun. I got a university classmate, his daughter is also Wen Yun, but her surname is Lu. That one is Lu Wen Yun, not Chang Wen Yun. He was a native of Zhujiang, which is about 10 miles from Nanhua Monastery. He was a room entering disciple. What is a room entering disciple? In Mandarin, it's called Zhu Si Di Zi. Zhu Si means what? Enter room. Means very close disciple. That's why the translation, I can tell you, it's not easy to understand. So the dialect is Liabo Kiwa, you catch no ball. Room entering disciple sound like our Malaysian English. The taxi driver say, my brake no eat. For that one, the Englishman also cannot understand. And they might wonder, what? Your brake also need to eat? Because we translate literally from our dialect, our Hokkien dialect, means break bo chia. That is a disciple to whom the master had transmitted the Dhamma. So that's the meaning. Though his introduction is not part of the sutra proper, I will explain to you. I will explain it to you because it narrates some important events in the life of the great master. The great master was named Huining. His father was of the Lu family and had the personal name Xing Tao. His mother was of the Li family. The master was born on the 8th day of the second moon of the year Wushu, the 12th year of Chen Guan Range of the Tang Dynasty, AD 638. At that time, a beam of light ascended into space and a strange fragrance filled the room. At dawn, two stranger bhikkhu came to visit. They addressed Master's father saying, last night a son was born to you, and we have come to deliver his name. It can be Hui above and Neng below. The father said, why should he be called Hui Neng? The monk said, Hui means he will be bestowed the wisdom, the Dhamma, upon living being. Neng means he will be able to do the Buddha's work. Having said this, they left. No one knew. No one knew where they went. The master did not drink milk. At night, spirit appeared and poured sweet dew over him. So he had such parami, no need to drink milk, but Deva came and fed him. Great beings came and poured sweet dew over him. Then we read the commentary. Yeah? The great master refers to the six patria winning. The master's merit and virtue was great. He had great wisdom and compassion, and so was a master of God and man. This means that he is also very well cultivated, and his cultivation is almost finishing. So he can become Sammasambuddha too. When one is alive, one has a personal name. After one dies, that name is avoided. Hence, it is called a personal name, a name which is not spoken. When the great master's mother gave birth to him, a fine beam of light arose, like that which the Buddha emits from his forehead. A strange fragrant incense which had never been smelled before filled the room. At dawn, the heavens are half dark and half lighted. To see in the song of household affair wrote, at dawn, got up, sprinkled, and sweep the hall. The inside and outside, you must clean it all. In China at that time, there was no linoleum. In the morning, people sprinkle water on the mud floor, wait a bit, and then sweep their houses clean inside and out. The two stranger bhikkhu were quite different from ordinary people. They were like the fourth patriarch, who by merely opening his eye caused everyone to tremble in fright. These two unusual bhikkhu came to name the sixth patriarch. Isn't this strange? Who has two bhikkhu come to name him? To say above and below, when referring to a person's name, is the most respectful form of address. What the newly born patriarch ate was sweet dew. This one, what do you think above and below means one? All the beings up there and down there also agree that he is the one. Means above and below, Tian Ti. Even like Sakyamuni Buddha, I think, when the Mara challenged him, he raised his hand. His hand sign, remember? One pointed to the sky and the other hand to the ground. He said, heaven and earth bear witness, because he had perfected the cultivation. He grew up at the age of 24. He heard the sutta and awoke to the way. He went to Huang Mei to seek the seal of approval. So the note, the sutta that he heard is the Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta, means the Diamond Sutta. The sutta is the Venerable Master Huang's commentary, is available in translation from, I think this one must be their website. At the age of 24, he is illiterate, a woodcutter with no formal education. He just heard one verse from the Diamond Sutta. The mind must have no dwelling, and he awakened straight away. It is so easy. It is like so easy. So now I repeat. Mind must have no dwelling. Have you all awakened? You all may awaken too. Then we read the commentary. Some say that the sixth patriarch was 24. Others say he was 22. As the Chinese way of counting, he was 24. And as the Western way of counting, he was 22. Whether he was 22 or 24 is not important. Do you know how the 2 years difference come about? The Chinese has a particular way of counting. The Chinese count from the day you are conceived. Then 10 months later, you deliver. So actually, the moment you are born, you are almost 1 year old already. Then end of the year, you are another year older. So you may be 1 month or 2 months old only, but actually 2 years old already according to Chinese tradition. Like my case, I was born in the October month. The moment I was born, I'm 1 year old. By end December or Chinese New Year in January, I'm already 2 years old. I was only 3 months old or thereabout, but I already 2 years old. That's why I had to add two. During funeral, sometimes they add two. It's not wrong. Not to say that they want to lengthen the deceased life. It's because you are conceived in the womb. It can be between 7 to 10 months, sometimes 11 months. Then there are some who are born into the world prematurely. They have to go through a certain type of cesarean birth to prevent harming the mother. Sometimes the fetus gets too big, very difficult to deliver. Then sometimes it's because of miscarriage or whatever. They have to do a cesarean straight away to induce the birth. When the sixth patriarch heard the layman recite the Diamond Sutra and reached the line, one should produce that thought which is nowhere supported, he was immediately enlightened. This is another way of putting it. It means a mind with no dwelling. Do you remember? And can you all understand? I think by now you should be able to. You can also awaken if you have the farming. We have gone through this. Anybody wants to try, come. You can try. What is the meaning of the mind must have no dwelling? Maybe we put it the other way around. What is the mind that dwells? We have gone through this, isn't it? In the Tuesday class, Thursday class. I'm not very sure. It's either the Tuesday or Thursday class. Sunday class, I think we have also gone through this. What is the meaning of a mind that dwells? Is your mind dwelling at any one time? Yeah, dwell everywhere, isn't it? Like this table. How do you know this is a table? How? You perceive it through your seeing consciousness, then retrieve from memory. So that mundane mind, which is conditioned arising, dwell on this table. That's why you dwell everywhere. Hearing something, you also dwell. Seeing something, you also dwell. How to have a mind that does not dwell? The mind must have no dwelling means what? It must not hold on to anything. It must not perceive anything. How to have that type of mind? Ah, yes, awareness or sati. What is sati? Sati is awareness before the knowing. So before you know, you don't perceive anything. Hence, you don't dwell. That's why the direct seeing, the pure perception, the awareness of it, seeing things as they are. In that case, you are not dwelling. It's just conscious, just aware. Then we go on to the third part. What does the Surangama Sutta say? Oh, 404, I think we stop here. Okay, we are off the light so that you all can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Then after that, we will come back. I will set the alarm now. Just relax body and mind completely. Free your mind. Then maintain awareness. Stabilize the awareness nature. Then allow it to be. Use it to develop understanding. Use it to observe. That is your true mind, meditative mind. Okay. So this part is very important. This part on the Surangama Sutta. What does the Surangama Sutra say? Surangama Sutra has a very famous saying. It says perception of form is one. All these are interconnected. Yes, it's consciousness. Then why is it consciousness? How do you know this is a table? You perceive it through your mundane mind or thinking mind, which is consciousness and its content. What is the content inside there? The content inside there is what you perceive, is it? Because you perceive it as a table. So that word, table, the concept, becomes the content of consciousness. So whatever you put in is the content. So perception brings the external form into the mind. So because of that, the Surangama Sutta say perception of form is consciousness. So this refers to the normal seeing, where if you just develop the normal mundane seeing, then you will say this is a mountain, or this is a table, or that is the Buddha image, because that is what commonly accepted by mundane people. We are all trained using knowledge, using concept words. So when we perceive something, it's always through consciousness, because we have to be conscious of what we see, or what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. So this six sense basis is capable of six types of perception or consciousness. When you arise the respective consciousness, then you will perceive whatever that is within that consciousness. It can be seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness. So that perception of the external form is definitely the mundane mind's consciousness. Then there is another part, which the Surangama Sutta say, whereas it's non-perception, it's wisdom. Oh, that statement is very profound. You can understand that statement in its true sense, means you have awakened. So this part is very beautiful. You perceive it through your memory. Perception of form can be anything. Can be the table, the fan, the Buddha image, the Kuan Yin image, or this hall, Wu Ping Jing Se, or even all of our parameters, Dharma friends. Or you perceive my voice, my vibration, etc. These are all external form, visual form, verbal form, and vibrational forms. So all these forms, if you perceive them, they come from consciousness. You will become conscious of what you hear, what you see, etc. The moment you are conscious of what you see and what you hear, you dwell there. So that is the meaning of dwelling. Do you understand? So this is dwelling. You are dwelling everywhere, because normal people, they always perceive. And when they perceive, the memory is activated. Then through memory, through views, opinion, and conditioning, you will stir your mind. You will react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, and what you tactile feel and think. So all these are what perception and dwelling is all about. You dwell somewhere. Whereas it's non-perception, is wisdom, according to the Surangama Sutta. Non-perception means what? When you don't perceive, what does that mean? It means awareness before the knowing. means you don't dwell, you are just aware. That's why it's wisdom. When you are just aware, that is the direct seed. That's why the mind must have no dwelling. And straight away, Huineng awakened. He straight away knew because his mind was like that. He was born without the mundane mind. His mind never dwelt anywhere. He was aware. He was fully aware. But he learned all this from culture, from society, from the conditioning that the people taught him. That's why he was already... Oh, sorry. I think the English is not so smooth. He was already born with a pure mind. Huh? No need the word therefore. He was already born with a pure mind, a true mind. He didn't have a mundane mind. And because of that, when people spoke the truth, he immediately was awakened too. He can awaken too. That's why you don't need to have any knowledge. You don't need to study anything. The moment you hear the truth, if your mind state is already transformed, you will understand truth. That's why Dhamma is to be realized. You cannot think about it. You have to awaken to it. To awaken means you cultivate until your silent mind insight into phenomena or awaken. If that mind is the true mind, then you will understand. That's why I always say, when you meditate, don't try to know. If you try to know, it's always the thought. It's the thinking mind. And the mind cannot know. That mind is always knowledge-based because it is the thought. Do you understand? In order to understand, you have to be silent without thought. That's why Huineng knew. This is what it is. The mind must have no dwelling. It must not dwell anywhere. The moment you perceive something, you dwell there. What is the phenomenon? Anything that is perceivable by the mind is a phenomenon. Anything that is perceivable by the mind is a dwelling by the mind. That's why your six senses are very powerful. You dwell everywhere. You give meaning everywhere. That's how you stir your mind. That's how you create duality. You are very active at the thought level. Your mundane mind is heedlessly thinking, creating, reacting, stirring. That's how delusion sets in, because you cannot understand. You cannot see things as they are. You use a lot of words, a lot of concepts. You are subject to a lot of conditioning, giving rise to all the views and opinions. Then you have fear, you have insecurity, you have anxiety. You have your likes and dislikes, pleasant and unpleasant sense experiences. You create so much mental states and movement, all because of delusion, self-delusion, psychiatry. When you believe this is you, then the content of consciousness is capable of bringing about psychiatry, self-delusion, to delude you into possessiveness, greediness, selfishness, and emotional negativity. That's why you will have all this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, followed by insecurity and the lack of peace. All this come about through your own ignorance and delusion. So this is what we call mental suffering, mental affliction, dukkha. Then I ask, is it clearer? Clearer, isn't it? Slowly, as this one stabilizes, one day you will understand. Or kautim in Cantonese, meaning done already. Actually, it's true. It's not difficult. Many of you, very likely, before the end of this year, will come to understand what I mean. And these are possible, not difficult. As you slowly develop the understanding via reflection and contemplation and listening to strengthen your view, and then cultivate the daily mindfulness, which is a very important part, sincerely, you will transform. So this one you have to bear in mind. You have to listen to Dhamma, constantly listening to Dhamma, then reflect, contemplate, to develop and stabilize your understanding. Then you can straighten your view. And to do this, you must at the same time cultivate daily mindfulness so that you are mindful, aware, sensitive. When you do all this consistently, sincerely, you will transform. You do the training of the mind until the mindfulness arises and stabilizes. Then you will understand. When you are ever mindful, you will definitely understand. The form and mind will understand. Then the awakening will come. The understanding will come. Then during that time, the form and mind will come to realize very clearly the following. No wonder living beings cannot understand. And no wonder living beings cannot break free, because they hold onto the thought and the self-delusion. So recently, I sent out a video for sharing. I think it's two parts. I think which I received from Sister Hui Ling in the year 2016, if I'm not wrong. So these two video is spoken by a professor, I think, from Canada or what. He is from the Ziji side. He has the understanding too. He wrote a book on this. He said you have to understand your complete they call it the self or whatever, means your complete self, means your complete nature, both the mundane and the supramundane. Then he said human being most of the time lost in thought, caught in the thinking. That is the only instrument they know, which is very true. And thought process play a very large part of their life. They are hardly aware or mindful. That's why they cannot understand there is another aspect of mind which is different from thought. So that one, if you listen to it, you can develop the understanding. It will help you. Because Hui Lin and they all that time, they knew. What he shared is very similar to what I share, except there are other aspects which he didn't manage to have the ability to share. But most of it is there. And he used Mandarin. That's why it's quite useful. But according to Hui Lin and the book itself is very clear. Well, in the book, I think they can write the whole thing there. Whereas in the talk, the two-part sharing, there is limited time and not everything can be expressed inside there. Anyway, it's just for sharing as a reminder. But the way he used the Mandarin to put it is very good. Because the Mandarin word can really show you what this delusion is all about. How the thought process has so much power over normal sentient beings. And how sentient beings are caught in it. Okay, we are at page 22. So we finish. Ah, yes. Alicia. Ah, yeah. Alicia, yeah.
Yeah, good evening. Good evening
for you. Ah, Sadhu. Ah.
我想 share 我的 yesterday 的 experience.
Ah, very good. 好的。
嗯。 因为昨天我要去我的 farm， 所以我起得很早。
哦，啥的。
然后说我就大概五点这样我就下去做我的普教。当我做我的普教的时候，因为很早嘛。
Yeah.
那个 habitual 哦，就听到有点声音这样。他的那个 fear 啊，就要 arise， you know。You know, but then after that， 他还没有 dwell 去别地方的时候哦，他就有一个understanding 哦，就是他
摆上出来。
这个就是今天 Brad 就分享的，他说因观法界性，一切为心造。
对，因观法界性，一切为心造。
So after that， 我就在那边哭 ，Brad 就。
沙丢，很好。
我想哈，我 OK， then but then 我就 continue 我的 puja， then I didn't really 就我去做我的 whatever 东西 ，then 就 whole day Brad 就。from 那个我回到家差不多要整十点多十一点 you know 就是那个整个的过程哦，你很清楚啊，就是
哇沙丢很好啊，
很讲不出来不然就能
呀呀我知道我了解，
就早上我一起来就那个 verse 一直出现在我的 heart area
呀沙丢因为你了解了你的 nature 啊，会有那个感应，会有那个感应，very good， 沙丢，
所以我是想借着这个机会来跟大家分享一下啦，
yeah.
因为这个 fear 哦，其实它是 retrieve from memory 这样出来的，
yeah, 一个 thought 来的，
对
，and like the Mayana saying。一切为心造啊 ，is mind make created by mind, no reality. And how does it arise through the own sakyality delusion, the habitual tendency? Because we have been conditioned since young. There is fear of the unknown, fear of when the mind doesn't understand.That's why when that arrives, that instant when you have the Dhamma, the Yoniso Manasikara will arise, the wisdom part, that even is or subside straight away. Because no reality. Mind make adi. When mind doesn't arise, there is nothing to create. And fear is a condition arising emotion.Which is part of Sankara activity. Dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. So later on, as you penetrate all this, then you realize how wise the Buddha is. That's why he says, Sabbe Sankara Anicang, Sabbe Sankara Dukkang, Sabbe Dhamma Anattang. That they are all the mundane mind Sankara, mind state.So if you attach and cling, you suffer. And they are impermanent. They come and they go. If through self-delusion, you attach, cling, and give meaning, project, then the mind stir and react to views, opinion, and conditioning. That's how fear trigger off. And fear was never you, not intrinsic in anyone.That's why this teaching is very profound. Then when you understand mind make a day, no reality. Think also like that, don't think also like that. He know you, he know me. No mark of anything. No mark of self, no mark of others, no mark of Dhamma, no mark of life. But to live life, existence, there is Dhamma. There is Four Noble Truths.There is the reality of life, and there is recognition of relationship and all those things. So these are the two aspects of Dhamma that we need to understand. One is to live life within the conditioned world. The other one is to realize the unconditioned wisdom so that we are not deluded, we are not trapped, so that our mundane mind cannot deceive us anymore. That is what the Dhamma is. That's why as you go through, you will have more and more of this understanding, and you will have a lot of joy that life can become so meaningful and so beautiful because of the basic understanding of very basic Dhamma about the mind. When we understand mind, Sing Wei Genben, we understand Dhamma, because everything that arises comes from mind. And the two aspects of mind can lead to the direct seeing. That's why today's sharing is very good. You should go back and read through it again. So this understanding is very, very good. Today's sharing, initial part is about gratitude, virtue, kindness, and all those things. If you cultivate correctly, you will have all this. So I think you also express it in the sharing in the early part, I remember. That's why I confirmed it at that time. I said, whoever who have gratitude, kindness, goodness, virtue, wholesomeness, they are the one that has the Dhamma. The real Dhamma is to transform yourself, personality-wise, character-wise, into wholesomeness. No more negativity. There is only understanding, contentment, kindness, gratitude, respect. Then we think for others. The negativity of selfishness, delusion, has been rooted out. Then there is no more sakarity. There's like no more emotional negativity. No more mark of a self. No more mark of others. We just leave. When you just leave, means you have the Dhamma. You can accept everything that happened. You can accord and flow. Then you understand life clearly, perfectly, completely. The mundane mind's creation is no longer a mystery to you. It's no longer something that can deceive you into grasping, clinging, holding on to things. You will never stir your mind anymore, get yourself entangled anymore. So all these are the beauty of the teaching. That's why what we share today, and what Alicia experienced is very, very interesting and very beautiful. Very good, Alicia. Continue.
Sadhu. 刚才做那个前面那个 sharing 的时候, I was full of joy also because
yeah.
因为我现在开始明白 gratitude 的 teaching.
Yes.
慢慢的我会努力的学习.
Yeah. 因为你有那个 understanding 嘛, that's why it will help you. That's why 你会有那个 joy, 发喜心 and all those things. Very good.
是的, relative, 因为, talking about 那个 stirring of the mind 哦, 其实以前我都很怕based的, 可是后来我理解到的是, 当你面对那个事情的时候, 然后你去, contemplate, 然后你知道怎样的去, come out of it, 那个是最重要的。 然后因为你在, sankhara 的 moment 的时候, 你会很, 很 dukkha, 我叫 suffering.
Yeah.
因为那个很, 有那个 mindset 的 suffering. 哦,
yeah, the mind that doesn't understand, get trapped, get entangled. That's why they call it affliction. It afflicts you. That's why 很辛苦的, 逃不出来的, they can't come out of it. So when you have the understanding, it is the wisdom and the understanding that frees you and allow you to come out. That's why there is a lot of joy. After that, it has no more power over you. Sankhara does not deceive you anymore. The Monday mind's creation, everything has been understood, clearly understood. Then the seeing, the mundane seeing versus the direct seeing. Then finally, the ultimate seeing, the three levels of seeing all will become clear as you cultivate. True, very true. And
yeah.
Aomyang, very beautiful. Yeah.
真的不可思议，不可思议。
啊，
就是还有就是，自从我发了那个愿，说要帮这些这样的众生之后呢，我身边好多这种这样的，就是比我的家人里面或者我周边的，就我住的地方，都有好几个这样子的。就是这样子的 for me to go through and then 怎样去帮他们，
对，
所以我觉得只要我们发愿，然后那个达玛或者那个什么就会manifest
yeah,
给我们去
manifest is causes and condition for you to develop the understanding and do the work. That's why 愿力很重要。The vows。
Yeah,
这个就是行菩萨道了，走菩萨道了。
所以我觉得哇，原来 all this happened 哦，我越来越觉得啊，反正当你有事情发生的时候，你就不要 panic 或者你不要去有 negativity 哦。
Yes, that one is the most important understanding.
就好像他自己会 unfold 哦。
Yeah.
哇，给你自己亲身去体验和目睹，
对，
哇，所有的法是怎么样升起，然后你就哇，你更加想精进的去怎么样的去知道一切法，然后才能够自利利他。
Sadhu, very good. 对，就是这样。The Dhamma unlock the secret of life.
Yes.
Then free the mind.From entanglement, delusion. That's why 佛法的奥妙就是它有这个智慧的本事 or ability to free the mind of living being. Otherwise, the living being cannot come out of it. Then the ability to be at peace with every moment, every instant,is very important. That's why without Dhamma, you cannot come to terms with the reality. And when you cannot come to terms with the reality, means you don't have wisdom, you don't have Dhamma, you don't have love. When you have wisdom, Dhamma and love, you can come to terms with anything that happens, whatever life situation, but that is the reality. Then you will know how to act.According to understanding, you act when there is condition to act. When there is no condition, you just silent, accord and flow, accept the movement, be with it, and cease. So all this understanding is very beautiful. Like you mentioned just now, you will know how to unentangle yourself, free yourself, and come out of it.And most important thing about Dhamma practice and cultivation is to develop the wisdom and the understanding to come out of all this affliction and entanglement. And the mind can only free when you really have the wisdom and the understanding, yoniso manasikara, like you mentioned just now, when you can understand the profound Dhamma.Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. So all these are sankhara activity, creation from the mind. And all of sankhara is dependent originating, condition arising, impermanent. That's why if you grasp and cling, you will lead to suffering. Because you want things your way, which is not nature's way. Nature's law has its condition, like the Buddha said.When condition is already like that, things will be like that, cannot be otherwise. That's why the Buddha put it in the opposite way. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. is telling you the opposite. But the reality is, when condition already like that, things will be like that. That's why whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind it, following nature's law. And this is the reality. This is what is. You cannot argue against the reality. You cannot ask why. You know, all these are the sakkayadity, self-delusion, the thought. The thought will have a lot of questions. The thought will want to have answers. The thought will want to reason, analyze, then to come up with reality to do things. So this is where sakkayadity is. The Sri Krishnamurti saw all this. He said, you have to be mindful, aware, to see all this. How thought divide two words, two concepts, two dualities. Then how it creates misunderstanding, conflict, argument, war, and whatever. So the problems of life comes about through lack of understanding of this teaching, this Dhamma. Lack of mindfulness to be aware, to see clearly all this. Yeah. So the cultivation become meaningful, like just now what was shared. You have to listen to Dhamma, constantly listen to Dhamma, like what most Kayamita has gone through. Even Alicia last time, famous for chasing the talk after chasing after Sui An for the recordings. And because she did it so consistently with faith, constantly listen to Dhamma, then reflect, contemplate, then develop the understanding, then meditate, silence the mind, and transform. That's how the progress can come. That's how the understanding can slowly, slowly stabilize. Then when it becomes very clear, very stable, she can come out of all this type of thing, no more problem. Even 16 years of depression, the psychiatrist medication, all she can just drop. No need to take anymore. Then she see all this clearly. Then she has compassion towards all those who are still trapped in it. Then she will have gratitude towards all those that give her the condition to develop such understanding, to go through the test and other things. So actually, when you have the Dhamma and understanding, when you reflect back, you will thank them for actually allowing you to have such condition, to be afflicted, like Alicia's case, to go into depression and all things, because that's how life is. Without the Dhamma, without the understanding, you will get entangled. But if it's not because of this, she will not have the condition to meet up with me, my nature, and learn the teaching, then come out of it so beautifully. So everything is meant to be. So when you reflect that, when you clearly contemplate and develop the understanding, then you know everything is just the way it is, meant to be, will be. Everything is condition arising, causal phenomenon, and everyone is different. That's why these are very beautiful examples of various types of different living beings or Kayamita that come in different form, different way, different condition to develop the cultivation differently. And everyone is different. Everyone is very beautiful. The way Alicia did it is her own way, which is equally beautiful. And her English is not good, but she determined. Like PG, her Mandarin is not good, but she have a strong mind. Persevere, have faith, then follow the teaching. So all this can bring forth the condition, the causes and condition for them to develop the faith, to diligently cultivate. Then they will persevere and they will make great vows, like what Alicia have experienced. Sadhu 啊，很好，等一下，还有什么？
Sadhu Brother Dio，
Sadhu，
我想讲讲，以前，两年多年前，我不是去 India 一个 trip？
啊，对 ，Yes。
是，然后我就在一个 Buddha image 的旁边，就是 very， 就是 basically is directly 跟那个 Buddha 然后旁边这样 meditate， OK？
嗯。
So 他就有一个 message 说，慈眼是众生。
嗯，是的。
OK， so 当我回来之后，我就没有太多的想法。
嗯。
可是当我在 daily 里面哈，哇。
啊
那个 sense 啊，这个 hearing 啊，一听到人讲什么、
yeah.
就 react 哦，一听到，
oh.
然后我就心想，那你的慈眼识众生是怎么样做？
Yeah,
就是
yeah, yeah.
哦，就是你要慈眼识众生，他们也是众生，家里的人也是众生，
yeah, yeah, yeah.
都是众生。可是你这么、yes. 这么一个小小的一个听到一句话哦，就跳上来哦。
对，
然后我就 reflect， 哇，我这个很不容易耶，就是他是给你一个condition 哦，你就觉得很苦，
yeah.
那边很苦，因为那个 stirring 很苦，
yes.
然后慢慢慢慢哦，我就去 contemplate， 慢慢慢慢一路走来，一路走来，然后就越来越少，越来越少，越来越会 react，然后就慢慢慢慢哦，他就哇 ，whatever 他们讲哦，我只有来。OK， 哦，如果是这样，这样就这样咯，啊 ，no， 就慢慢
yeah, yeah, yeah.
慢慢的这样去，因为之前我从来就没有分享我怎样去 go through 我的 cultivation。阿松讲，你每次只是讲你的什么，而你没有清楚的去 explain 你的 cultivation
啊，去观，去了解，
嗯，对，所以我就想，哦，原来是。哦，这样经过了这样，然后你reflect， 然后你再知道下一回，就讲了下一回你在 encounter 的时候啊，你再
你就懂得怎样去处理，
你就
因为你 straighten your view 了，
是，
那个就是三转法轮啊 ，the three turning of the fundamental truth。Maybe I use this to explain. It will
okay,
help you
Bradio,
and a lot.
Okay, 好 ，Bradio， 因为 Bradio 其实。我的英文不好，所以我的 cultivation 的方法是我是就是说我从我一学佛开始，我就告诉我自己，我要断烦恼，这个是我的
对、
最
重要的目的。
对，最重要是我自己要断烦恼，而且我不要给人家起烦恼。
对对 对,
对,
对，
这个就是我的 main 的，所以很多
yeah, the main intent,
我就不大会去弄那些。Dharma words 我不大会
yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why 我会替你 explain
对对
这就是那个三转法轮 The three turnings of the four noble truth That's why under the three turning The Buddha under the first turning of the first noble truth He said There is this noble truth of dukkha Then he explained What is this noble truth The reality of life and existence The eight conditions After he explained that first one, which most Gayamita has, where you have listened, the eight conditions, birth, old age, sickness, and death, separation from your loved one, separation from things that you hold on to, separation from whatever that you cling on to. So separation also can lead to suffering, the Buddha said. That when you are with people whom you don't like, when you cannot get what you want,These are suffering. Then in short, it's your attachment to the five aggregate of form and mind that he called dukkha. So this one, most people learn it as knowledge. Dhamma knowledge. They cannot apply because they didn't reflect. They didn't contemplate. They didn't straighten their view. They didn't apply the Dhamma in daily life. So under the second turning,The Buddha say, 这是苦鲁因之。This is dukkha. This is suffering. Suffering is to be understood. Why did the Buddha say that? Why must I understand it? 就好像你的 case, 你要 断断这个 suffering， 这个 affliction， 这个苦。如果你不能够断掉这个苦，你就会 suffer。You will go through life in a miserable way, with a lot of affliction, suffering, misery, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. But once you have the ability to severe it, means the cause of arising of this suffering is to be understood, then you must 断掉, abandon it, or severe it. So all these are the first and second noble truth, three turnings. So under the second turning of the first noble truth, you will have to reflect and contemplate. Why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? That's why I say you contemplate. You throw out the inquiry, what is birth? Then you recollect the birth process. If you are a mother before, you give birth before, it's very easy to understand. Even if you are not, you can reflect on real life understanding. You can read up on it and develop the understanding. So this is contemplation. Then you realize, yeah, birth itself is not necessarily always a happy occasion, because birth can bring about problem, suffering, affliction, and misery when the birth is not normal, when there is complication during birth. Then as you live life, as you go through life, you also come to know with birth come old age, sickness, and death. They are the condition of the first noble true reality. So all this will lead to suffering, affliction. If I don't have the wisdom and the understanding, I will get myself entangled. That's why I must understand the reality of birth. So as I reflect and contemplate, then I know these are realities. When it arises, if you don't have wisdom, if you attach and cling, you will become afflicted, miserable. So how not to attach and cling? You have to understand what the Buddha meant. In the five daily contemplation, the Buddha said, this nature of ours is of the nature to go through life, to experience birth, old age, sickness, and death. And we have not gone beyond this, because the form and mind is subject to old age, sickness, and death. And this one has a birth. The condition behind is arising. That's why it's called birth. So this body of mind, that body is not your nature. That body is just a physical body, element, with the consciousness trapped inside. It goes the way of nature. That's why the Buddha said this one will grow, will get old, get sick, and finally die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, birth, and death. So when you understand this, your mind becomes different. You will not attach to this physical body deludedly. So birth, old age, sickness, and death is no more an issue, because this is a common reality for all mankind to experience and endure. Not only we have to go through, every sentient being, if you live life long enough, you have to go through, you have to experience. So the first noble truth reality is explaining to us the reality of life and existence. That this reality, every sentient being who lives life long enough will encounter, will confront, will go through and experience them. If you don't develop the Dhamma understanding to confront them, you will suffer. You will become afflicted. You will become miserable. So the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths is very beautiful. First turning is the Noble Truth of Dukkha, as proclaimed by the Buddha, the proclamation of truth, this reality, the eight reality of life and existence. So when I understand this reality, I can develop the understanding. That's why I look back. Why did the Buddha ask me to develop the five daily contemplation? The first three refer to this physical body, so that I will not deludedly grasp and cling onto this physical body and worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. But this is not me. This is element, go the way of nature. It's a common reality. There's separation, the fourth contemplation. All this which I hold on to, cling on to, and believe is me, they were separate from me. But these are conditioned arising entity, causal phenomena. It doesn't belong to anybody. It has its causes and conditions of its arising and passing away. They were finally separate, because even the form and mind that you are born with, thinking that is real, is also dependent originating condition arising. So if that entity is also not a permanent unchanging entity, then how can that entity own anything? When your breath stops, everything ceases to be. You no longer exist, your entity erased. Sometime before your brain stops, your form and mind still around, condition changes. Then all these things that you think you own can separate from you, your loved one, your prized possession, your wealth, your property, your whatever business, your reputation, they can just cease to be, no longer yours. So all these are the reality. Then the last one is about law of karma. We are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. And when you understand all this, you will know how to cultivate. You will know how to free your mind. You will know how to develop the condition for the good life. That's why the five daily contemplation is very important. And this one you have to constantly reflect and contemplate. The eight condition. Yeah. So after you have gone into all this, your wisdom, your understanding will stabilize. Then when it stabilizes, you move on to the second number two. There's a cause behind suffering. The cause is always craving, born of sakayatiti, self-delusion. And then you reflect, why did the Buddha say that? What makes the mind egoic? How did the personality arise? How does the I, the ego, arise? Then how come from the personality, the egoic mind, the atta, the three ego roots arise? Because you think you exist. Then there is a delusion that wants to own, possess, hold on to things, cling on to things, control things. And when things don't go your way, you can become angry, emotional, unhappy. That's the evil roots of greed, hatred, envy, and jealousy. Then there is also the third one, fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity. This is suffering. The mind that has fear, worry, anxiety doesn't understand life. When you project your thought, when you cannot understand what thought is, then you will fail to develop the ability to stay in the present moment, to realize your true mind. That video also is mentioned. People cling on to their thought process and the thought project into the future or recall through memory. So future has yet to come, it's not a reality. But because you go and think about it, which is not a reality yet, you project the fear, you go and worry over nothing. Then the past is already gone, no more a reality. But your phobia, your fear, you recall through memory and it creates intense fear. That's why holding on to the past, projecting into the future, they are not the reality of life and existence. It's not a solution. It creates more and more entanglement. And this is what the first two links, avijja paccaya sankhara, is. Because of ignorance, you create wrong thought. And what are wrong thoughts? Thoughts that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, your selfishness, your delusion, your emotional negativity, the evil roots. So avijja paccaya sankhara means dependent on ignorance. You create thinking. And when you think, you project your thought into the past and the future. That's how suffering comes to be. When you project into the future, you create unnecessary fear. When you recall the unhappy moments, your phobia, I mean, you create all the suffering, the affliction through memory. Where you grasp, you cling, you attach, it gets you more entangled, more afflicted. So all this, you have to be mindful, aware, to see all this and wake up and tell yourself, it's only a thought. How come it has such power over me? And what is thought? Sankara. Come and go. Come and go. It's a tool for me to live life. How come I so deludedly allow it to torment me, afflict me, and make me so miserable? Like Alicia says, small thing about the thought can make her unhappy at that time. That's why she determined to come out of it. So when you reflect and contemplate and develop all this skillful meaning and understanding, then you realize, like Gumoy, they all went through. You say, yeah, it's only a thought. My life, I decide. I hold the key to my own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely my choice. If I choose to be happy, nobody can make me unhappy. Then she free. Then she developed all this. Ichie Waising Zhao. Sankara Anichang, my make a day. My is a foreigner all thing. When my arrive all thing. So if I don't think, I don't create, I got no problem. If I am not deluded, then I got no problem. This form and mind is a vehicle and a tool for me to come to live on, to use. Like the thought. It's a tool for me to experience life, live life. So I use it to create right thought, to create wholesomeness, virtue, goodness. I must not use it negatively, like the knife, to harm yourself, to hurt yourself, to hit out at others. That is the wrong way of using that tool. But if you use it to shape fruits, cut veggies, do carving, serve you, and then that is the right way to use that tool, T-O-O-L. So your thought process, your thinking, your mundane mind is the same. It's a tool for you to use. So use it with understanding. Do not be deluded by it, deceived by it. So Noble Eightfold Path is about right view leading to right thought. So all these are connected. Then finally, when you finish your contemplation, you will awaken through the third turning. The third turning is always saying the first noble truth. This noble truth of dukkha, the Buddha under the second turning, is to be understood. Under the third turning, once you have finished all this understanding, you say this noble truth of dukkha has already been understood. Means what? You have understood what suffering is, the cause of its arising. And suffering can end. Cessation of suffering. Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now. Then the path that leads to the end of all suffering, you know, is Noble Eightfold Path. Yeah, you have cultivated it. So if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. That's how the whole of life can be understood, and suffering can come to an end through the three turnings of the four noble truth. So the second noble truth was the same. First turning. There is a cause behind all suffering. Second turning, second noble truth. The cause is to be severed or abandoned. So this cause is craving, attachment, grasping, clinging, self-delusion. Then the third turning of the second noble truth is this craving has already been abandoned or severed. That's why you got no more problem. Then the third noble truth that talk about the cessation of dukkha, enlightenment in the here and the now, suffering need not be. So the first turning, the Buddha said, there is a noble truth that explains enlightenment in the here and the now. Suffering need not be, because this Nibbana is possible. Then under the second turning, the Buddha, this enlightenment, which is Nibbana, is to be realized. That's why you have to realize it. Under the third turning, it has been realized. So the fourth noble truth also the same. There is a path, the Buddha said, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So this is the beauty of this teaching. Then under the second turning of the fourth noble truth, he said this Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated. Means understanding it alone is not enough, not like the first noble truth. You need to cultivate it until it has become a part of you. The Noble Eightfold Path factor is an embodiment within you. That's why I always say, whatever meditation you do or cultivation you do, if it doesn't bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You must have the right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, for right effort, right mindfulness and smart. This Noble Eightfold Path factor, you must have them, the embodiment. Then finally, the third turning or the fourth noble truth, this Noble Eightfold Path has already been cultivated. Means you have completed. That's how the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths is so important, so beautiful. Even the Buddha, under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon, he said, he himself as a bodhisattva at that time, he also had to understand this Four Noble Truths in these three turnings and 12 aspects before he can proclaim to be the enlightened one. So all these are so beautiful. That's why for today's sharing, we should thank Alicia for bringing out the condition and for me to share this again so that the whole understanding can be there. The three turning of the Four Noble Truths is very beautiful. San Chuan Falun, Su San Di. So hopefully with this, you all can develop clearer and more stable understanding. Then the whole cultivation, the big picture can be seen. So this is most beautiful. Once again, thank you, Alicia. Sadhu. So, Ching Chu Lewa.
Sadhu, Bradio, Pei Chang Ji.
Yeah. Sadhu.
Just, 这个 suffering
就是我一直到怎样去断这个苦然后我就去
trace back how this happened
the cause of arising
the cause of arising then 就是 from hearing then 一听到然后你的 picture
recall through memory
对啊然后就这样然后经过无数次的 you know 这样第一次不成，第二又再来，就是无数。
You have to go through many times.
Many times.
Contemplate, reflect.
Yes. 所以主要是我们要肯下定决心的去改，就是不要把那个就是 gradual 你是讲的 craving 就是其实我们的 subtle craving 就是 everything 要我们以我们的方法来做。
因为那个 mundane mind, which is egoic, is very, very cunning. The possessiveness, the attachment, the craving, the grasping, the clinging, everything also 他要. 好的也要,不好的也要. 贪吗? So that greed is the major cause of suffering, the possessiveness. The authority, everything. Then, when they cannot get what they want, the emotional negativity, the violence, the hatred, the anger, all these are evil roots, leads to a lot of negativity of emotion. And all this war, conflict, come from these evil roots of anger, hatred. Then finally, of course, out of fear, insecurity, they preempt things like the Americans. They cause a lot of havoc in the world because out of fear for others who may become better than them or threat to them, they feel so insecure about the whole world. They can have nuclear weapon, other people cannot have. They can do all those funny things, but other people cannot. So this is not the way, not the Dhamma way. The Dhamma way is to develop wisdom, understanding, avoid conflict, develop more and more understanding, and be a blessing to all, so that humanity can have better condition to understand life, to live life, so that there will be more and more peace and order in the world, less and less pollution, suffering, and misery. So when it comes to true humanitarian work, compassion, loving kindness, the world is still lacking. Because most of the politicians don't believe in all this. They believe in money, power, wealth, and all these things. To them, it's all selfishness, motivated by greed. Then they are very arrogant, full of ego. You don't agree with them, they can sanction you, they can create a lot of problems for you. So the way they do things is without understanding and wisdom, and very, very negative in this approach. That's why without Dhamma, it's very difficult to have people who can really be a blessing to the world, to humanity. So all this is related to life, to existence. So, 很好, Alicia. Sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, 感恩, brother. Actually, I mean, 有时我会 like, you know, 就是发出一个就是我会就是很臣服的 I go to the Buddha for the refuge, you know,
like, yeah.
So 他就自己发出来做讲 three times I go to the Buddha for the refuge.
Yeah, 你自己会去做的
so, 对，所以我觉得哇，真的是不可思议啊，就是
yeah.
就是很感恩， 因为佛菩萨一直在 guide 我们，
一直在对对对对 Wow. That's why San Bao, the triple gem, is very important. You must cultivate affinity with them. You must take refuge and develop affinity. Wow, Manyan put a heart there. Manyan must have rejoiced. The heart disappeared, Manyan. What happened, Manyan?
Okay, sadhu,
brother,
我的感恩到这边，感恩大家。啊，可以，可以，感恩。
So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us rejoice with the good sharing. Yeah, Manjuan, yeah, just now you put the heart there. What happened?
The heart will disappear by itself. I think I didn't like take it back. After a while, I think so.
You will go off by itself. So you rejoice with the sharing just now.
Yes.
Sadhu.
Because listening to Alicia share her experience, when she talked about the part, you know, she want to overcome her suffering. Actually, I also want.
Very good, Sadhu. The tears come out from your heart or your eyes.
No. But
not strong enough yet. When the tears come out, then it becomes very strong, like PG's case. Tears will really come out. Because when you can feel how people are motivated to actually free their mind, to liberate their mind, to severe all suffering, then that thing becomes very strong. But good enough, at least it reminds you of the need to do that. Sadhu to you.
I actually can identify myself with what Alicia said when she said that small thing surrounding her, but she get affected. Also sometimes feel like that, I think
that's why she determined to flee. She said it's small thing like that also can affect you, means you don't have the Dhamma yet.
That's why
she determined. Then she go and listen to Dhamma, reflect, contemplate, straighten her view, then do it over many times. Every time she reflect. To find out why is the mind still like that. That's why you don't do that. There is no cultivation at all. It's just theory and it cannot apply to real life situation. Because you can feel it. It still annoy you and cause you suffering.
Yes.
And you become more sensitive initially when you have the ability or mindfulness to see. Because a lot of people who started their cultivation, they don't know all this. Then when they develop some form of, I won't say stable mindfulness, but ability to be aware of their own negativity, suffering and all that, then they become like very panicky, fearful, worried. I got so much dirty thought. I got so much craving. I got so much attachment. Small thing also irritate me. Actually, that is a good sign. That is the beginning of cultivation. First is to see it. See it, then develop the urgency to straighten your view, to free yourself, like the Buddha said. Retrospectively reverse it. Initially is to trace the origination factor. That's why Alicia went and did all this. He wanted to find out what makes her afflicted, suffer. Small thing also like disturb her, annoy her. So what is behind all this? Then he realized it's through the senses, through what she hear, what she recall to memory. And most of the time is from hearing and the thought process. Then sometimes it's from what you see. Then whatever that manifests will bring you back to the mundane mind. How the mundane mind actually get itself entangled. How the egoic mind arise. How the atta, self-delusion, psychiatry, the entity that people take arise. Because we are so conditioned since young. Ask us to arise a thought that is not egoic. It's very difficult. Without Dhamma, you can't. Because everything is so tied to the entity that we hold on to. For me or not for me. If it's nothing to do with me, or no advantage to me, no benefit to me, I don't want to do. That egoic mind, that selfishness is so strong. And that one is so full of the evil root, protective. So see all this. Then tell yourself, why did the Buddha say this is self-delusion, sakkayadhiti? Then why the Buddha say our form and mind is dependent originating because of that is impermanent. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's anatta, non-self, empty, no reality. Go into all this. Reflect, contemplate. Because this is only element like the five daily contemplation. It goes the way of nature. Element got no knowing. How can it be me? Then you know the physical body it's just a vehicle, chemically conditional for us to come to this world to use. Then we will not deludedly worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. Yet this is a nature's law. It goes the way of nature. There is no reality. Then when you understand all this, you straighten your view. You accept the reality. We are not only you. All of humanity is subject to the same reality. So when you confront them, you must develop the straightening of the view, the wisdom to act so that you can free your mind. You don't go and project your thought and worry about it and create intense fear, worry, anxiety. You will not go and recall the unhappy past. Yeah, it's just a thought. How come thought has such power over me? And what is thought? It's a tool for me to use. Thought come and go, impermanent. If I attach and cling deludedly, if I give it power, that is scarcity. I will create wrong thought that condition my fear, worry, anxiety, and suffering. Then I must understand what is wrong thought. So whenever I'm unhappy, not peaceful, the wrong thought is there, the evil roots are there. All this contemplate, reflect. Then all the other Dhamma will come. Perception of form is consciousness, whereas it is non-perception is wisdom, the direct seeing. Then only mighty nature rolling by. Everything is just the way it is. Cause and effect, condition arising, cause of phenomenon, following nature's law. You know you, you know me. Everything just flow. So all this understanding will stabilize and allow you to straighten your view and liberate your mind. Then the Yonisomanasikara, the Dhamma will arise. So with this, Manyuan, you will progress. That's why you must go into all this. So that determination to free is very good. Sadhu to you.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Nothing. Just that I wanted to share with Brother Teo that when Alicia shared just now, I felt like I'm not alone.
Yeah, definitely. Sadhu,
that feel the same thing. Like I thought because nowadays I feel like there are more challenges, like if the daily life. I mean, last time also the same, but now it's like more things to correct myself.
Yeah, because you understand more already. Last time you don't know how to handle. Last time this thing continued to afflict you. But now you can find solution. You yourself has developed the ability, like your career side, your office side. You managed to resolve a lot of it already. So now it's zero in onto your personal life. So all this will continue. And it will become more and more beautiful. That's why like Alicia said, you have to contemplate, reflect, and try it many, many times until that sankhara activity is being resolved, until you have the understanding to break free. So all this can happen.
Brother, I will do that. I will do that.
Sadhu. Very good. Okay. Thank you for the good sharing. Sadhu.
Sadhu.